All right, so that first video was on more like theory, right? Theory about goals, or at least a new way of looking at goals. In this video, what I want to do is give you a little bit more practical application. So I want to talk about the areas of life where you can set goals and the importance of having things measurable. Measure where you start as well as your progress, and it'll help even more. Make them public, and it'll help even more, okay? I'm going to repeat that because it's something that, and I'm putting this right at the beginning so that you can make sure that you're getting this in your head, or you can review or go back and watch the first portion and get it. So I'm going to review those. It's extremely to have your goals measurable, and that's the end goal. But it's even more helpful when you measure where you start and to make your goals public. When you make your goals public, you are more accountable to other people. And when you're more accountable to other people, then you are more likely to get them done. Because we will always do more for other people, or our how other people may perceive us or change their perception of us based on what we do versus just doing things for ourselves in a hidden way, okay? Remember, you need to become someone before you can consistently have something. If you want money or you want a strong business, you need to understand business. You need to become a business person. This doesn't mean you buy a food truck. That doesn't make you a business owner. Really, it doesn't make you a business owner simply because you own stuff or product or service. But it might begin there. Now, if you want to earn a ton of money, you need to become a great salesperson and marketer, not simply a business person. There are very few truly wealthy people who aren't fantastic salespeople and fantastic marketers. Another way of saying this is that they've mastered the art and skill of listening extremely well to others and influencing them properly with integrity. To me, that's what marketing and sales is. It's influencing other people because we have listened to them. We understand where they're at, we understand what their needs and desires are, and we are influencing them in ways that have a ton of integrity. To me, that's the measure of sales and marketing. So let's get into these nine areas. I've got nine different areas that I want to discuss. I'm going to go through them fairly quickly, and this is what I want you to identify. I'll talk about it later with the action steps, okay? But for right now, what I want you to do is if one of these or two of these stands out more than the others, I want you to just jot that down and you can revisit it, okay? So the first is finances or investing. It's basically money. And this includes a few different things. One thing is to maybe understand your financial statement. What is a financial statement? Good question. A financial statement is I'm going to give you my basic understanding of this, okay? I'm going to try to simplify things so that everyone can understand them no matter where they're coming from. A financial statement is basically an understanding of your assets and your liabilities. So an asset, I'm going to give you a quick few definitions here. An asset is something that puts money into your bank account on a monthly basis or on a consistent basis. A liability is something that takes money out of your bank account on a consistent basis. So I'll give you an example. Is a car an asset or a liability? Well, in my opinion, a car is a liability. That's not the way banks measure it and how they might lend to you or not, but the way business minds need to think about this is a car is a liability financially. It takes money out of your pocket every single day. Now, it helps you get somewhere, so it's still necessary or even desired on different levels, but really it's a liability. It's not an asset, okay? So you've got to make it work for you really well or it starts to kill your business. A house, if you own a house that you live in, that's a liability financially because it takes money out of your pocket every month. You say, well, but Mark, I'm building equity into my property. Yeah, but that's not putting money in your pocket right now. That's a savings account for later on. That's what owning your own home is. It's a savings plan for later on. It can be a great savings plan for many people. I'm not saying it's bad in any way. What I'm saying is financially, it's a liability because it takes money out of your pocket each and every month. Utilities, utilities, taxes, insurance. You've got your principal and your principal and your interest payments. You've got all these different, and you've got your general maintenance. It's taking money out of your pocket consistently, okay? So that's a financial statement. You understand your assets and your liabilities in your business and in your life, and you understand that assets put money in your pocket, liabilities take money out of your pocket, okay? Expenses and income, all of those are revenue, depending on what you want to say. These are all really important concepts to understand. So if you don't understand that, you need to do some research, okay? That needs to be part of your goal. Potentially. You've got to realize I'm going to make a statement at the end of this video on what to pick and choose, where to go. Because some people, often my clients look at these and go, whoa, wait a second, I need 8 of the 9. I need all 9 of the 9 right now. All of these are important. You've got to pick what's most important right now. Secondly is budgeting. Do you understand budgeting? Is budgeting something that sends terror into you? What budgeting is, if you want to understand what I believe is a great definition of budgeting, is a budget is a plan for your money. So it's not restrictive. It actually produces, it gives you freedom. Because when you know everything that you've got and you know the highest priorities in your life that you want to put that money into, that's freeing. Because now if you have any left over, you can spend it however you want because you've taken care of the priorities. Okay? Somebody who doesn't have a budget simply doesn't have a plan. That's all. A budget is a plan. And if you struggle with mindset or your beliefs about budgeting or money or financial statements or anything like this, let's have a chat. Let's figure this out, okay? This is a really important conversation. You can have a conversation with your accountant. Next, wealthy versus rich. To me, there's a very big difference between somebody who's wealthy and somebody who's rich. Somebody who's rich is making a lot of money. Somebody who's wealthy has a lot of money. The difference is that if somebody's earning $500,000 a year as a doctor, but they don't have enough to retire today and live for the next 50 years and still be really, really well off by the end, then they're not wealthy. They're rich. There are a lot of people in this world who look wealthy. They're driving really nice vehicles. They live in really nice homes and really nice communities. And they do things in a really nice way and they spend lots of money. Those people are rich. They're not wealthy. Most of them. Wealthy people typically, and if you want a great book, read the Millionaire Next Door. It shows that most wealthy people are actually, they're careful with their money. They don't waste their money on frivolous things, okay? Physical health is the next area. And this is what I'm talking about when I talk about physical. I'm talking about sleep. Where are your sleep patterns? Diet. What are your diet patterns? Exercise. And the role of your doctor. So I'll get into this just a little bit more. So with sleep, I'm talking about your circadian rhythm, your sleep hygiene, sleep apnea maybe. Do you have a sleep journal of how you slept if you're struggling with sleep in different ways? With diet, I'm talking about vitamins, water intake, sugar intake, whether something is organic or not, whether something is picked ripe or not, whether you're having lots of greens in your diet. And again, you can use a dieting journal with this if you need to get help. And again, I'm going to be mentioning these ideas briefly today with goals, okay? But I'm simply giving you ideas. We can get into this a little bit later on, or you can ask me specific questions. I'm not going to cover some of these things all the time for you guys because this is focused on business, right? So I don't want to load you up with stuff that you don't need. Exercise. Movement is vital to your body. Stretching can be best for most people. Cross-reference this with your other two journals, with your dieting journal and your sleep journal. What's helping you feel good every day? This can be an easy spreadsheet on your smartphone or a piece of paper by your bedside table to use each morning and evening. Really, the question is, what do you struggle with? Measure yourself in a way that works for you. So the idea, this is why spreadsheets and this is why sleep journals are so important, because you can measure whether you're good or not. Instead of relying on whether you ate bacon and you're stuffed with food or you're feeling good that day or you woke up on the right side of the bed, instead you're using something that's far more objective. You're using a piece of paper and you're writing things down every day in the moment how you felt after you slept for 8 hours versus 6 hours versus 10 hours. So what do you struggle with? For some, it'll be a Fitbit. And that's the way they measure things and steps every day. For others like me, it'll be short bursts of energy and measuring progress. It's really important to understand this. I'm going to really quickly talk about the role of your doctor. The role of an MD in our society is that they are the top of a funnel. Your MD does not know everything about health, nor should they. That's not their role. Their role is not a specialist. Their role is a generalist. Okay. And they are at the top of it. Now, they might have some specialties and know more about certain things. Most doctors that I've met that are MDs don't know, like general practitioners, don't know, I should have said GPs, sorry. They don't know much about sleep. They don't know much about diet. They don't know much about exercise. They don't know much about a lot of things. They know a little bit about many things. And that's why they're so valuable, because they're the top of a funnel and they can go do a quick checklist in their head and say, this person probably needs to see a specialist in this area. So with physical health, think about the role of your doctor, of your general practitioner. Next, number 3 is educational and personal development. education and personal development. This is education growth. So you need to have a goal in your life and to measure this, at least somewhat, even if it's just maintaining things in these different areas. And you can learn in different areas. There's languages, there are books, there are audiobooks. There's a book called audible.com. There are histories, biographies, inspirational books. There's spirituality and growing in that area. There are specific skills that you can learn for personal growth or development of your business. They're hiring professionals in your life to help you with this. These are all different areas that you can kind of explore under the banner of education and personal development. Now, keep in mind that when I say spirituality, I'm not talking specifically about religion. I'm talking about a combination of our beliefs, our values, the way we make meaning in life, our interpretations of those things. I'll get into this in a little bit, okay? But these are kind of the things that I think about when I think about education and personal development. It's about investing in yourself, and you need to realize it all has a cost and a return on investment. If you don't spend the time, energy, money on yourself, you will not get a return on your investment. That's the way it works. You don't put any money in, you don't get any money out. If you don't put any time in, you don't get any time out. Next, mental or emotional health. I'll talk about a couple of ideas here. So, for example, shame versus guilt. A lot of people think guilt is bad. Guilt is fantastic. Guilt is a legal term. Shame is awful. Guilt is a statement about an action. So I did this and I didn't do it in a way that adds up to my values. Great. Now change and do something different. That's what guilt is. And feeling guilty is I felt like I did something wrong. Shame is something different. Shame is there's something wrong with me. So not that I took a specific action, but more that there's something wrong with who I am as a person. Next, anger, fear, or sadness, or emotional explosiveness. I'm going to talk about this at various times in different ways, and maybe I'll go through emotional clusters here in a little bit. So emotional clusters, there's an average North American male, and there's an average North American female. And these people in general have these patterns, okay? So let's think about these as icebergs, okay? They're not triangles, they're icebergs. And that blue is the water level. And what I'm gonna say is that typically the three most common emotions that we talk about in our society are fear, sadness, and anger. As far as on the negative side, people believe these are negative emotions. They're just emotions. There's nothing negative about them unless we do something about them in a negative way, okay? Now, what I want to just express quickly here is that we have emotional clusters. And what an emotional cluster is that you feel one thing. So the feeling is below the water surface. It's something you're experiencing internally. But you might express a different thing outwardly. I'll say it again. You might experience an emotion internally, but you don't express that outwardly. I'll give you a really quick example. A really quick example is a little boy on a playground is playing and he gets hurt and starts crying. And because he is hurt and crying and maybe scared of doing something or going to the doctor or whatever it is, kids start to make fun of him. And this little boy, and they call him names, and this little boy learns that it's not okay to show fear or sadness, but it's okay in North America generally as a male. It's more okay if you watch movies or superhero movies or anything else, old westerns, that if you show anger as a male, that's more acceptable. So this little boy learns over the course of his life that if he feels sadness or fear and shows anger, that there's some release of emotion. It's not the proper release, but it's some release. Same with the average North American female. Many females learn that anger is not okay, but fear and sadness are typically okay in our society. Now, again, these are wide generalizations, broad sweeps or brush strokes, okay? So this is not specific for every individual. These are generalizations about our culture. And they're negative. They're very negative. We have a lot of names for angry women, right? We have a lot of derogatory names. We call them animal names. And that's not appropriate. That's not good. But what it teaches females is that anger is not okay. Fear and sadness is okay to share. So we learn these different patterns. Understanding those are really important, okay? So for males, fear and sadness goes below and we show anger. For females, fear and sadness are actually okay, and anger is the one that we don't show. Really good just to understand it, okay? What else do I want to say about this? So also, just mental health symptoms and diagnoses. So really quickly, the role of psychiatrists in our society. And I'll talk about the difference between a counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, and a social worker really quickly so that you understand this and can maybe work towards your goals in this area. If you're not interested in this, move to the next section, okay? But mental health symptoms are different than diagnoses. A a mental health symptom is something that probably all of us feel at different times, or all of us have in our lives at different times. Most people on the planet have had a day where they've had difficulty getting out of bed. Most people have had a day where they thought, are people better off without me? Those are symptoms, okay? A diagnosis is when somebody, a psychiatrist, uses a book called the DSM, depending on the version they've got, the newest, latest version, they use the book called the DSM, which is the kind of like a Bible for psychiatrists, that tell them, if you have certain symptoms, then you can give a person this diagnosis. So, depression. Now, the diagnosis is simply a picture in time. Quick picture in time. No, quickly. Difference between counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, social worker. A psychiatrist is a doctor who's got training in the Western medical medicine model, and then has gone on to become a specialist in mental health. Okay, not in treating mental health typically with therapy, usually with drug therapy. Talk therapy versus drug therapy. So psychiatrists are typically very strong in drug therapy. They're typically fairly weak in talk therapy, generally speaking, a generalization. Psychologists are people who are typically very strong in research. They typically are not MDs. They are somebody who are strong in research and in talk therapy. Social work and on the individual. A social worker is, generally speaking, somebody who's very strong in understanding that it's more than about one person. It's typically about an entire structure, an entire social system, and a network of people around a person that contributes to their mental health in different ways or their situation in life. That's typically the way a social worker is trained. Now, there's typically a hierarchy in North American culture where psychiatrists and psychologists are kind of the be-all, end-all. They're great in these different fields, and social workers are somehow less than. I don't believe that. I believe that social workers have a different skill set, and it's extremely valuable. Then there's also a counselor. A counselor is just a general term for anybody who helps people with internal stuff, okay? So they're not going to be able to prescribe meds typically unless they're also a psychiatrist, but typically a counselor or a therapist is somebody who's a psychologist or social worker, or somebody who hasn't even reached the level of psychologist or social worker that's helping people through talk therapy, okay? Hopefully that's clearer than mud. We'll continue on through this, okay? Next section is relationships. So there are intimate relationships. There are relationships with children or parents. There's other relatives. There's friends. There's relationships in the workplace. You have to understand, wait a second, what are my goals with relationships? And do I want to change that? Is that the thing that I want to focus on right now? Or is it something else? Now again, be very careful with communication and relationships in general. Communication is key to these relationships, and set specific measurable goals in relationships. You can do this. It's something that is difficult for a lot of people, but you can do it. For example, I want to have a close friend in the next 12 months. I want an intimate partner within the next 2 years. Or my partner and I will be communicating far better within the next 6 months. And you can develop a rubric for this. So you can say, like, well, what does it mean to communicate better? Well, maybe you say, how well do I listen? 1 to 10. How well do I ask questions? How comfortable or safe does somebody else feel sharing something with me that they might be ashamed of? How comfortable am I sharing that with other people? How am I doing as a wife, a partner, a parent, a friend, a husband, a colleague in the following areas? Honesty, loyalty, supporting you when you need it. And on a scale of 1 to 10, you can ask these questions of yourself. You can also ask these questions on a monthly or weekly basis. You can look for improvements. For example, Teresa and I, my wife and I, have something that we do consistently called our Sunday night wine. And we don't always drink wine on those evenings, but what we usually do is after the kids are in bed, we spend at least an hour together just connecting, simply connecting. And sometimes it's more related to what the week looks like moving forward. Sometimes we simply connect and snuggle a little bit on the couch or whatever it is, but we use that time to reconnect. And you can use systems like that and then measure yourself. Ask your partner, ask somebody around you, how well am I doing with communication? How well do I listen? How well do I ask questions? You measure me 1 to 10 and see if you match up with somebody else. That's on relationships. Daily work is another area of goals. And for daily work, there's kind of a couple of sides to this. One is the financial side. So you can look at what you're doing for work to earn money. You can also look at the side of enjoyment or life satisfaction. So what you can do is write a list of priorities for yourself. You may find you want more money and don't care really what you're doing for a while to get it. You don't enjoy as much, that's fine. You're making the money and that makes up for it. Or you may find you want more life satisfaction and are willing to take a pay cut for that. Where do you want to be in 5 years, in 10 years, in the next 12 months? Discovering what you love and are motivated to do is part of this area. Discovering your passions is part of this area. So ask yourself whether that's a priority for you right now. Here's another area of goals that you need to think about, and that's self-transcendence. This includes giving to others. This includes leaving a legacy for others, and thinking about things that are bigger than you. So giving to others, this can be time, energy, or money. These are the three resources that you'll often hear me talk about, time, energy, and money. But think through this. What are you willing to give to others? What is your goal with this? What do you want to do today? What do you want to do this year? What do you want to do in 20 years or 40 years or 5 years? What do you want to do? What do you want your old age to look like? How are you self-transcending? How are you living outside of yourself and giving back to others? I really recommend a lot of younger people focus on themselves, developing themselves better. Not that you ignore other people, but our culture is so focused on you need to give and not receive anything yourself. And I disagree with that. A lot of people need to focus on themselves first and then give to others, because they'll be far better prepared to give to others and give far better gifts to others when they're a whole person themselves. Next, rest. So the more frequent your rest is, the better. I'm not saying you have to rest all day every day, but if you take more breaks throughout the day, it's far better than taking a 2-day weekend, and it's far better than taking a few weeks off every year in one time. The more frequent you rest, the better you get. The more able you are to give to others, to invest in things that are important to you. And this includes hobbies, this includes different activities. This should never include TV and computer gaming. TV and computer gaming is never restful. And I can show you great research that shows this. TV and computer gaming actually stimulate the brain. They don't rest the brain, okay? Even if you use it to unwind, it's the same way to unwind as Ritalin for somebody with ADHD. For somebody with ADHD, Ritalin is actually a stimulant, but it helps somebody focus on one thing rather than many things, okay? That's a really brief description. Or what about trips or vacations? You gotta think about this consistently. Now, typically you want, again, many small rests throughout the day rather than one big trip every year. The first keeps you in a relaxed state, the small rests every day. The latter, taking one big trip every year, never lets you completely unwind for more than a few days in the year. Most people need at least 2 or 3 days alone in the forest or to unwind, or at least a week at a resort to start unwinding. I see stressed people every time I'm vacationing. Extremely stressed. They're not relaxed at all. This is a consistent pattern that I see. Okay, next area of goals could be spirituality. So again, I hinted at this before, but to me, spirituality is not necessarily religion, although religion is a type of spirituality, if that makes any sense. Spirituality is a larger encompassing thing than simply religion. Religion is a specific form of spirituality, whereas spirituality encompasses three things in general. It includes our values, it includes our purpose, and includes how we make meaning out of the world. So when something bad happens to somebody else, or somebody makes a certain decision in life or the world, within our family, outside of our family, how do we make sense of that? What's the framework we have of the world? That's what spirituality is. Okay, here are the action steps. I just gave you nine different areas of goals. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to go through your values worksheet. And I've got a values worksheet that I've given. Or, and this is more on the spiritual side, figuring out what you want, what you're passionate about, what values you have. Or I want you in another way, and this is actually really important for anyone to do, is prioritize your goals. So the way I want you to prioritize your goals is to ask yourself, out of all these nine areas, if I could only do one, if I could only get really good at one, which one would that be? Which one would it be? If I could only choose one area of goals to improve this year, what would it be? That's going to be a difficult decision. But this is how I do it. This is how I do it every year. And usually, so October 10th is my birthday. Usually around October, that's when I redo this every year. I focus on my birthday, and then that time around, it helps me, my mind. What I do is I focus out of these 9 areas, I have them in 3 different categories. The first category is the priorities for this year category. All 9 categories are all 9 areas of goals are important to me. But the first area, the first category is what is the most important to grow right now. And I only have 1, maximum 2 things there. The second category, or the second section, is the things that I want to kind of work on a little bit, but they're not going to be my first focus. And I might have, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 different goals in this category, this area, this section. And then the third section are things that I think I'm doing pretty good at right now, and I'm simply going to maintain. Okay? So maybe I'm happy with my spirituality right now. Great. I'm going to maintain that. What I'm going to focus on is something else. Maybe I'm happy with how I invest in other people, my self-transcendence. So I'm okay with that. So I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to stop doing it, but I'm okay with maintaining where it's at. Okay. And I'm going to only focus on my relationships here. I'm only going to focus on my finances or my physical health this year. That's going to be one of the main things that I work on. And what you've got to do is categorize this a little bit. And this makes a big difference. It really helps out a lot of the time. Okay. So that's what I'm going to get you to do for right now. Before you even go to video 3, I simply want you to prioritize your goals, write them in kind of 3 sections, 1 or 3 areas. The first is what I want to grow substantially this year. Second area is what I want to continue growing, but isn't absolutely the most important right now. Not that it's not important to you or to your life. It's not important for this year. And the third is the area that you go, you know what, I'm pretty good at these things, or they're not the highest priority right now. I'm just going to maintain the levels right now.